It's another program where it's out there, and also Joy of Union, and Joy Melchizedek is going to join me. We have a special guest. Flo Magdalena is our guest who has been on before, and I'd like to welcome both these wonderful women on. Joy, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited today that we're here together and that we have Flo and Mary Magdalene we're going to chat with today. It's been some time, and from then to now, so much has happened in the worldly events, and I'm eager to hear what we speak of today. So I want to thank Flo for coming in, and you, TJ, for, excuse me, setting everything up so that we could have this happen.
And I'd like to thank you, Flo.
You're welcome.
Yeah, both.
You're welcome, Flo, and it's nice to have you on board. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. I'm very excited to be with both of you and with your audience, and also to bring forth what I can to support where we are right now and answer some of the questions that are in our hearts.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I want to say it really is a deep honor, a soul honor for us to have you, Flo and Mary. And I'm sure our listeners are eager to hear everything that you share, too. So I thought I would just ask you a few questions about the movie. I know there's a movie coming up, but maybe we should share that at the end. And how does it feel if we talk to Mary first and then go into the movie after? Because I have some questions about the book that lead into that. So how's that sound to you?
Well, I'd like to just preface it all by giving maybe a little background on the book.
Sure.
And
sure.
How it's related to Magdalene, and then even maybe yeah. A little bit about where that led us to create the movie that we have. And then Magdalene might want to chime in then and talk about why the movie is so important. So maybe we can just feel into how it unfolds, if that's okay
with
you.
That sounds great. Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. We're open, right, TJ?
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I'll start a little bit with I Remember Union, which is a story of Mary Magdalene from the perspective of the divine feminine and the ways in which the feminine affected the Christ legacy and that passageway. And so the book is very much available to us through the heart, and it's written in a way that opens the poem of the life of Christ and Magdalene and really offers us a deep insight into who they were as people and why they had come here and what their design was. And so the book was written between 1989 and 1992, which is a long time ago. And ever since I put my first pen to the paper on that book, I saw it as a film. So then what we've done in these years that have come forward is to actually just be with that. And many people have decided that they'd like to be part of the film and have written screenplays and so forth, but it never really gelled until very recently. And so I had a really good friend who you know, Joy. Her name was Jane Stewart. And when she made her transition in 2020 in April, we actually began a very strong, let's say, fundraising, film lifting kind of energy, and we began to pull together a team. And so we did a screenplay, and we are now bringing together the individuals that will be part of that. And the exciting thing is that these ladies that are the director and producer are from Hollywood. They have worked within Hollywood for at least 30 years. But what we're doing with Magdalene's guidance is actually starting with the vibration of the film, the energy of the design of those who will be part of it, and we're calling that together. So versus trying to go out, raise funds, see if we can get a really good actor, you know, to kind of sell, quote-unquote, this thing, we're realizing that we're actually, in a fundamental way, starting from the core or the essence of the film. It's called I Remember, and you know how you have iCloud and all these other things. Well, the I is little, and then the R in remember is big, so it's called I Remember. And it's really an epic film, and we have recently been communicating with the film itself and feeling into the essence of Magdalene, because the Magdalene and the film are really the same essence, we found out. And we're also really excited because what's coming together is a vibration of the heart and people who know that inside they have been called to do this in their own design. So it's a very exciting process.
That is very, very exciting. And it is coming together in a very unique way. It feels that it's organic, and it's coming into fruition and gathering itself from the essence of the feminine, correct?
Exactly.
So
instead of doing it literally, you know, like logically, like, what do we do to get our ducks in a row? You know, we do have a budget, and we do have, you know, we have things that we need as mile markers or so forth, but we're not actually involved in the competition of who's doing what and what can we do. You know, there's a different energy to it, and sometimes I feel like we need to film our meetings because later on people will say, well, how did this evolve from this organic place, as you've said, and what's the way forward in the world, in the new earth, where we can actually create things in a different way? So that's what's really exciting. And we never know. You know, it's the whole thing that excites me, Joy, is some of my students who have always seen this as a movie, like you, have held that for us. And then there was a client who was in Hollywood, and there was this director and producer who were, you know, looking for a spiritual film, a film that might actually have the potential of shifting the consciousness on the planet. And they were looking at some other kind of, you know, individual who had done something. And this client of mine said, well, if you really want to do this kind of film, you need to read I Remember Union. So I didn't have anything to do with that. And so they read I Remember Union, and they contacted me, and Jane was alive at the time, and we went with them a few times. They read the book on this client's recommendation, and from that it just evolved. And that's why I'm really excited, because it's one of the first times in my life when there's been something that I knew in my vision was going to happen, but I didn't know how. And it took none of my energy to make it manifest. So it's just unfolding, you know, and I'm watching it, and I'm doing my best to hold it without holding it, you know. But it's fun to be part of this evolution, because it's so directed from somewhere else. It's not directed from the ego or the attachment or any of the normal ways that people feel they have to create something.
So it's coming from the essence and your soul and the soul of oneness, correct?
Yeah, and that's true. And I think it's coming also from the essence of Magdalene. And the film is really like Magdalene. You know, when we ask the film, I ask in an Akashic record reading with the director of the film, Mary Madieras, who I think sometime we may have the pleasure of speaking with together. She said that, I remember, said to her, well, it's synonymous. I am synonymous with Mary Magdalene. And that really excites me, too, because it means that we're fulfilling that part of Mary Magdalene's life, and she isn't done her work, obviously. You know, she really wants to continue to be an emissary of light and to turn us all on to that process in a very exciting way, individually, in whatever way that works for us. And yet there's this this kernel of truth that she continues to spread around, and so many people are responding to her energy now, men and women. It's pretty awesome.
Yes, and I want to comment here when you talk about the soul of the Magdalene. Isn't it true that you carry that, her soul?
Well, I'm one of the ones that do.
I think
there's many of us, actually. Yeah. because it's a stream. It's a stream from the divine feminine, and and some people carry, for example, the soul energy of Mother Mary, or other, you know, Joan of Arc, even, or other people. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, I just identify mostly with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I brought that up because I know her visibility and your visibility are both important, and I don't mean to make you uncomfortable by saying that. I actually want to encourage you to step forward in owning that, that's all, and honoring you for doing it. So that's where that came from, okay? And I can hear Mary Magdalene laughing right now. I want you to know. She's like, gotcha. So I also am very excited about this movie. I think it started, like, as soon as I read the book in 1992, I remember we would gather together and talk about hiring Peter Gabriel to play music in 1992 concerning the movie. When I was going through the trainings and everything, I started that with you. So it's amazing to see how this is still evolving. You know, it hasn't been put aside or forgotten. It's still on the table, and it's very exciting. So to hear the progress that's been made, I did have a couple of questions about the book. Because I know people are still seeking clarity with certain things, and if it's okay, I'd like to ask you a few questions about that.
Well, why don't you go ahead, and then we'll see if I'm the correct one to answer it or if Magdalene is.
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay.
So, what is the connection between Christ and Magdalene?
I'll let her answer that. Do you have another question?
Okay.
Get them all.
You're
going to
let her answer that? Okay. All right.
I think
we'll
she'd answer that better
forth.
Than I.
Okay. Well, I have some other questions which I think she'd want to answer too. But in your perception, recently I've even experienced medical professionals talking about how the systems are broken and failed. And this is like coming directly from inside of the systems. One day, every single person I talked to said the same thing. And then, of course, we have the broken essence of the school systems that don't work for the children. And the messages keep getting louder and louder. The question I have is, how do you feel birthing and bringing this forward can affect a broken world?
Well, I'm going to invite Magdalene to answer that with us and for us.
Okay. So that's where my starting point was. And TJ, did you have any questions for Flo?
No, not at this moment, but I will be glad to hear what she has to say, what Mary has to say too.
Yeah. So whenever you would want to start, Flo, that's kind of like the consensus I have right now, that these questions kept coming up today, and I thought I'd put them out for you too.
Well, I am here with you, Joy and TJ, and all that are listening or will be listening. And I would like to honor each of you by saying that my presence here today is from your request, but also from the essence of what you carry, who you are, what you bring. And I have always, with the Christ, held this expression of what we think of as consciousness, which is this invisible, I am here for this, and I have come to do that, and I hold this for many, and so forth, as each of you are expressing your life experience, because you're here for a purpose. You're here to bring something here that has not been here before. And you want to remember that in the honoring of your life and the respect of your own consciousness, that you are unique and you bring here today something that has not yet been discovered, unrevealed or unleashed, revealed or unleashed, and that you are here also to follow the inner pathway of your own heart in a way that perhaps you could think of as bringing the answers or solutions to the questions that you now have. If we think about everyone on the planet and the roles that they are playing, and the Heart's Village, you know, this wonderful, it's what you call an e-book that we and Jane and I and the one speaking created together, the Heart's Village. This is what you want to understand right now, that each of you has a role to play in the unfolding of the design of peace and truth on the planet. So it's very important to look inside, to hold what you are as close to your chest and heart as possible, so that you experience your value and the strength of your own consciousness, so that as you meet each day, you meet that day with that consciousness. And it is actually, for me, as I look at the world, a time where you cannot be seeing the world outside and looking at solutions outside that someone else will bring to that which your heart wants to respond to. In other words, if your heart is responding to something, then it is very helpful to look back inside and say, all right, I am responding. What is my response? What is it mine to do at this moment? And I say that to you because if we think about it as a design, and we think about it as each of us having a role to play that we alone can play, then we begin to be empowered to see what it is in our environment or our relationships or our intense yearning or the foundation of, you know, whatever our world experience or profile might be in that moment. How is it connected and what can we each do to bring forth what we know in our heart is yet to come? So we are really in this time of self-expression, self-authority, and the momentum of self-worth. How do we take that worth, hold it deeply in the world, and then act from that? So in terms of the world itself, we could think about it very simply as each person now must do their part. And they have been looking outside of themselves for answers and outside of themselves for solutions. And if everyone on the planet began to take that authority to look at, all right, what is it that is mine to do? And how do I now affect the world around me from this place of knowing? There would be like a wave of consciousness that would flow over the whole planet and embody the energy of truth in that moment in such a way that we would begin to gather the momentum of each person's connection to each other person's vibrations so that they could then become working together. Even if they were on other sides of the planet, there would be this vibration that began to rise and raise and open and expand in such a way that it would be in a very direct way affecting every point of separation that we now experience on planet Earth. And if we think about what is the definition of now, in some ways, I like to think of it as a very simple word that I determine as separation. We're just separating, and we're separate, and we've been taught we're separate. We're taught that, you know, no one else really can be with us. We're always alone. We're going to die alone. And that is, none of that is true. And yet it has been so deeply held and inculcated and taught, and conditioning is there, that people are not allowing themselves to actually join or come together. And of course, with the situations that have been arising and some that have been created on the planet to keep people separate, it is extremely valuable right now to decide to be a bridge between whatever is on one side and on the other, whether it be called X or Y. You know, there's no real way that consciousness can separate, and yet the mind has that capacity. So in a lot of ways, I come to transport you beyond the mind into possibility, into the potential, and into the foundation of what it's like to be in the heart, in the soul seed, and remembering that you're light, because, of course, that's the ultimate truth. So your question about the world, which I'm starting with, is an individual action to understand the power of your own intention, design, and blueprint or fulfillment or purpose. And that then begins to spread over the world. And that is what is in the film, this idea that we are our own masters and we do not have to in any way bow to anyone or anything, and that we have this capacity in the soul seed to know the truth of who we are, to know our destiny, and to live it. And once we live it, you see, if many of us begin now living it, then we actually transcend what has been inculcated as separation, and we begin to live in the divinity of union. So that's really an important message for each of us to bring forward, you in each of your own ways. How could you stabilize that in your life? How could you share that idea? How could you provide a resonance in all of your actions that would be perhaps portraying or embodying or deeply showing what is in your heart in some way? In other words, the vibration of your heart gets acted out, gets shared, gets planted. You know, if it's a garden that you're planting, or an animal that you're caressing, or a dinner that you're making, everything from the heart gets transmitted into every action. And if I go to the Christ Magdalene frequency, this is what we lived together. Every action was an example of what our heart and souls each brought. And what we were able to do through the divine union that we hatched in the swing between worlds before we came was that we could act as one element, one vibration of the two, so the two becoming one. And that feeling of divine union from masculine and feminine is also what we all, in all realms, anticipate the new earth to represent, so that each person is able, in the fundamental sense of their own sexual energy, biological energy, heart energy, soul energy, and soul purpose, come together, no matter what that might be, and join with others so that there isn't distinction or separation regardless of what's contained within any one of those aspects. So we're here. The Christ and Magdalene is always together when any one of us is moving in that place of union. So divine union and oneness and being in the heart and the soul and light is Christ Magdalene energy. It's not different. It's also monadal and Sophia energy, and that's not different either. So we think about our time now in the world as an opening, and we're opening so deeply that we don't have to distinguish ourselves anymore before we act, because as we act, that is distinguishable. It is bringing us so much love and energy and consciousness, because by living who we are in each moment, we're actually having a joyous time. We're actually sharing and cooperating and creating together, and it's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. And even though the Christ and I had many moments of what we could think of as dilemma, you know, this is a dilemma, what are we going to do about this one? Or, oh, that's a force that's moving against us, or, you know, all of these different aspects of human experience that every one of us has had in this dimension, we knew without a doubt that the other was always in that moment with us. So we knew that the divine union that had spawned us, that sustained us, and that we shared was always vibrating even when we were not together. And yes, sometimes we missed each other, sometimes there was this and that, and yet I think the most important thing I could convey to you each is that there is a counterpart for you. It may not be a human being. It may not be an idea that you have of this person or that person, but the divine union is in you, and it is comprised of masculine and feminine, and the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and each of you carries, it's like a chip, you know. That's not necessarily kosher to say at the moment, but it's like one of those little seeds, it's called a seed, and it's a seed that's inside of you, and it has the counterpart point in it, so that you can always feel that divine union that you're part of within your own being. So we were, you call it twin souls, it was like we were really the same soul, and we were elementally vibrating at the same rate of speed, even though we were in different bodies, and in some ways at different times, because there are different segues into where we were and how we were learning and where our consciousness was able to go. And I was able to take him at times, he was able to take me. And that was because we did not see the distinction that our physical bodies seem to imply. You know, if you are looking at someone who is in the room with you in a physical body, there is a distinction. And what we were taught in the swing between worlds is that we did not have to have that distinction. We could walk around and have the masculine and feminine joined completely within us, even if there was no physical representation of that. So that's another part of that. And the foundation of the story of our lives is displayed differently by different individuals' belief systems and consciousness points and all of those kinds of things. And so the only thing that I always say is it's not about the beliefs. Did we do this? Did we have that? You know, all that. It's more like, what is the frequency that you feel when the divine feminine and masculine are in union? And when you feel that, that takes you home. It takes you to the very beginning of your consciousness, and that's what it's for, so that all that has transpired in this lifetime, other lifetimes, parallel lifetimes, future lifetimes, however we're looking at the schematic of consciousness, you are given the formula for being completely in light as both masculine and feminine, in other words, in divine union, so that each of those parts disappear. And that the feminine and the masculine, as they join, represent source. And so we represented source. That's the most important thing. And no matter where I am, I'm representing Christ. And no matter where Christ is, he is representing me. And we are representing his mother and my mother and all mothers and all life and all men and Joseph of Arimathea. It's all in the same cluster consciousness, you know, that we are all part of that because we're the same vibration. So those who come in and have a soul connection to that vibration carry that, espouse that, ground that, and share it. There are others who have a different cluster of consciousness that they represent. And so their vibration is attuning and magnetizing individuals to come to be with them. So this is how I would answer that particular question. And then onto the film, one of the things that I am most excited about is that the film is going to offer a valuable and very intricately clear picture of what this earth is like when individuals recognize their divinity, when they recognize that we can actually take everything that has occurred on the planet, whether it be this or that or the other, all those opposite points that we call different things, you know, called duality. And we can transcend duality and come together as one family. So this whole epic film energy is about transcending and about opening out to and about grounding in this whole new world. And it basically shows us how to do that, but it also offers us viewpoints to how religion, and particularly certain religions, have separated us from our own wisdom. And because we have in the film this very wonderful, you know, the grotto is in it, and I am in it as Magdalene, and it is very amazing how it has come together. It's a kind of an adventure at the same time. We see what the truth is and how to fill in the ideas that we have been asking about how, and then see that unfolding in a way that actually sources itself in each heart. So it's a film of activation. It's a film to bring people to an understanding of how things can work and to show them the example of that, and also to reveal certain truths that have been espoused and are written in I Remember Union, the story of Mary Magdalena, and the foundation of all that humanity seeks, actually. So it is a very wonderful expose of how the world is now in the 21st century and how we are going to create it together in a way that we have in our hearts as the yearning of what we call the promise of a million years of dreaming. So that feels like a complete answer to your question, perhaps.
That was amazing, that answer. And it was a journey. And the way you ended it really touched me. I have a painting from my brother called The Promise hanging on my wall. So that was lovely. And so I do have some questions, but I'm going to see if TJ wants to comment. I kind of feel some questions from people for you. But TJ, do you want to comment or say anything?
Mm-hmm. In the story, I remember union, and it's about union between two souls as well, and union with Source, but... And a lot of people maybe get hung up on, you started to talk about twin souls or twin flames, whatever you want to refer to that, and kind of reference that everybody has that connection. And I guess what I've noticed, and others have probably are maybe picking up on this, seems like more people are connecting with that essence that is their, if you want to call it a twin. It is, during these times, some have said that the twin is needed because the love of the twins is the most powerful. And you may not even be with that twin physically on the planet, but their presence may be here. Do you see any more of that, Mary, going on right now?
Well, as we come to what we could think of as more dire experiences on the planet, everyone is looking for a solution. They're looking for something to help, some way to assuage the guilt or the grief or the challenge or the anger or whatever it might be. And if we think about the entirety of the design as not being something that is literal, like, okay, if I have a twin soul, where is he or she? And will we get married, or will we have children, or all of these things? If we think about it more as a truth that you're not alone and that what you carry is already complete. You see, this is the logic. The religion and the world epistemology would have us believe that we are incomplete and that without something that we really need, it's not going to work for us. And Christ and I came, and all of us in that particular myth or story, came with a different message, that you have in your soul everything you need. And so when I say that we were twin flames, I think of it as, and I know there were many other representations of this divine union, and as I have discussed it, you know, that we were counterparts for the other carrying whatever energy would support that divine union. Each subsequent pair of incarnative individuals was carrying our representation of divine union or other characteristics of, let's just say, a Buddhist one with consort, you know, that feeling of being in oneness. So when Christ and I came, we were bringing that epitome of union through our relationship. That's why many people have decided it meant certain things or looked for ways that that manifested, which is absolutely not important because what we carried is what people are searching for. And we represented it so it would be acclimated to human experience. It would be grounded through human lineage and heredity and so forth, genetics. And that this timing, and it happens periodically, you know, but this timing of 2,000 plus years ago, this was the space that then influenced all of the lives subsequent to that experience. So, yes, everyone has that part of them that will assist them in experiencing their own wholeness so that there is this feeling of balance inside. And so there does not need to be a quest, because as soon as we start to quest someplace and think that something has to come for us to be complete, then we separate from the integrity of what we carry. So this message is really, you're carrying it already. You have everything inside. Now, the other part, TJ, is that when people begin to honor that other distinction of self, quote-unquote, of the divine union inside, then that energy, that consciousness, that presence, begins to come more fully into the awareness. So then we are carrying that more consciously. And as we carry it more consciously, we feel the balance and strength of that divine union. And it doesn't matter if you have a husband or a wife, or, you know, a lover or someone that you've met and you're, you know, longing for and so forth. That isn't that of which I speak. What I speak is what this one Joy says, an inside job. This is where the consciousness of who you are is enough. And as it grows, then it expresses in more complex and more extended and expanded ways that include the vibration of both the masculine and the feminine and the divine on both sides of that coin. And then when you show up in the world, there is an invitation. People want to be with you because you are complete. They can feel your completeness. They can feel the sense that you're carrying something magnificent. And so we engender that as a role model, let's say, or as an example or a symbol or however you might think about it. And again, each of you has what you need. It is looking within, sitting within, and breathing in that space that will provide access to that for you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope I answered your question adequately.
Yeah, I guess I just was wondering, you know, I know that we're complete on our own, but I always felt like there's, you know, part of the process that we go through to become human is that, you know, we're one energy, and then when you take that next step down to a different vibration, you split into masculine and feminine energy, and this is where some would determine that that is a twin, but that's always connected to you. And then so people have been telling me or experiencing what they feel, that there is more of a presence of this other half that is now going on because of the things that are coming forward. And that was my question that I was asking. Is that sort of thing going on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And it is in response to the quest, and yes, and the question. And yet it is about what I'm endeavoring here to convey is that, yes, one can ask for that, and one can look for that, and one can try to find that. However, if one focuses within, then that energy will come. Sometimes it will be human. Sometimes it will be etheric. Sometimes it will be a parallel point or whatever. And we won't know that until we find that essence inside and request that presence of ourselves. So it's what I really could say here is that each person has an available connection to that other part, if we think of it that way, or other side or twin flame, has a connection already. And so when one goes into the discovery place where it was hatched, where it first was felt, where it was chosen even, in the soul seed it was chosen, right? So if we go in there, then that magnetizes that connection and brings it forward so that we can discover it more clearly. And it might mean for some that they attract a human being, or they attract a spirit, or they attract a wisdom, or whatever it might be. And it may be for each person experienced quite differently.
That's a very good answer. Thank you. That's kind of how, you know, I guess how I was seeing it as well, but explains it very clearly. Thank you.
So, Mary, I have a question, I wanted to hear your perceptions. There's quite a bit of talk about secondary twins, and I wanted to know if you have any input on that.
Well, that's something that I don't really have too much input on, no. What I'm wanting very much for each person to hear in our discussion is that the more we look for the labels and we look for more and more and more and more, the further most times we move away from the source of the answer of that. And So if we can just come into being with what is, then it may unfold that there is an aspect that would be helpful or apparent or perhaps available, and yet I have not actually discovered that myself.
Okay, I can receive that answer. I thank you for that. I've gotten some input, but I wanted to hear your input, and it isn't so much about the label, it's about the experience that people have shared with me. But I appreciate your input and the truth that you're bringing in. And I do have a couple of questions because I feel some of our listeners, like TJ, has said from time to time how some of the people listening may not understand some of the language, right? And I'm wondering if you could just give a little clarity on what the swing between worlds is and what is happening from there when... Because you mentioned that in passing, how that Christ and Magdalene made decisions from there. And I'm wondering if you could give some clarity there about what goes on.
Of course. And I just wanted to say, Joy, in honor of your experience, that you are working with different, what you could think of as corollary or different avenues of expression and experience than I am. So I don't know about yours, and so I'm just saying that I don't know about exactly what you asked me, because my focus is not on all of the upcoming energies. It is much more on holding the space of the integrity that I was requested to hold. So it is that you may be having those answers, and maybe people would like to hear your answer on that one as well. But anyway, I will speak to this thing. So we have a place in the universe where we come forth from. And the ones with no names, the Council of Light, and many other beings are residents of and long-term residents of this interdimensional swing that shows everything about time and space, order and being. So the swing between worlds is where a soul will come to choose what it is that they will learn and what it is that they will bring or give to the world. And so there is this beautiful, if you could just feel the rhythm of the swing and imagine, you know, you're sitting in the swing between worlds and you can see everything. You can see the future, you can see the present, and you can see the past. And you're in a chamber, and there are 13 doors in the chamber all around you. And so it's one of those, you know, it's like a dodecahedron, but it has 13 doors. And so individuals come before you, and there are choices made about whether those individuals will be part of your incarnation in that lifetime. And you have a choice, yes or no, and you work things out before you come, and then you create what we call the design. And the design is what your parameters for that lifetime are. And it's not that you can't make other choices, but it's like a guidance system. It's like you have certain sails that you use for certain weather conditions and wind conditions, and you're set with those sails. And so you enter into this incarnative process with those sails, and you know exactly what your acumen is. And yet, through the process of birth, there's amnesia, and it's remembering that is what we talk about when we say remembering the design. And in experiences with Magdalene and Christ, the design was like a template, and we went up many times to look at it and to experience it. And this one speaking and the ones with no names have had classes recently called the TNO, the Nameless Ones, TNO Chronicles. And there have been classes where people are taught how to go up to the swing between worlds, how to ascertain the choices for this lifetime, how to open the karmic wheel inside, and many, many different things. So there is this, probably it could be called an epistemology, where the Nameless Ones speak about the soul's journey and give sessions and readings, as you do, to foundation a remembrance of what was chosen. And then once we begin to remember, we begin to stimulate that consciousness, you know, and we know what our sails are and where they can be raised and what it is that we've prepared for. So there are spontaneous and lifelong patterns that are held in this very loose template that's like a parameter or a guidance system. And so as we experience each moment of our lives, we have the opportunity to breathe into that place where the ribs come together. That's like a microcosm of the swing between worlds, because our soul seed is implanted, and that's a positive thing, into the soul seed, which is right where the ribs come together at the base of the xiphoid process. And that's what a lot of my work is, and a lot of what Christ and I worked with in the healing process when we were together.
So thank you for that answer, Mary. It's very clear. And when you were describing about the template and going up to the swing, and I know the work that Christ and you worked with was linked to the soul, there's a process called circuitry alignment. And I was thinking of that when you were talking. Doesn't that work also give people the access to the swing?
Yes,
to have the experience.
It was in 2005 that the ones with no names, through this one speaking, said to her, we want to bring the vibration of each person's consultation with us in the Swing Between Worlds and their soul blueprint or their vibration into their physical body so that they could actually have the embodiment of their soul in their physical experience. So that is circuitry alignment, yes, and it does bring the vibration, the true original vibration of the soul in through the channels of the body, grounds that through the feet, and then sparks the seed of light inside, the soul seed inside, so that one feels very aligned with their infinite and particularly chosen focus point. And it also brings together this sense of everything falling into place. What's been missing? Why I haven't even known, and now I know what it is, because my spirit is connected to my body through my soul.
Yes. Yes. I can attest to that. Very profound work. Absolutely. And thank you for
that.
And
you provide that too.
Yes, I do. I provide it. Now I teach it too. But I'm very honored too. That work is amazing. What I have experienced and what I have seen happen with others, and the simplicity and how quick it happens too, is amazing. In 2 hours, you're accessing this vibration that is so profound. And as you were saying, it's like people go and they get their original vibration, which feels like home in the body. But there's also this other work, and thank you for that answer, that I know that is being brought through soul recognition. Would you speak about that a bit, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, the soul recognition is perhaps, for the one speaking and for myself, the most deep way to experience the threshold of spirit in the body. It opens the channels so that so much light pours in that anything that does not vibrate with that resonant light is actually removed, but not from a conscious standpoint or willpower, rather from an organic opening to the vibration and the pattern of the truth within each being. And it's a nonverbal process, and it is held in a group so that it is witnessed. And there is a foundation that each person perceives of themselves when they enter into this experience that changes very dramatically when they exit this experience, because during the journey that they have in soul recognition, there is this foundational shift in perception, and one realizes that one is not held by the world in the way they thought they were held, and there's a freedom and an expansion and also interconnection with light, with truth, with order, with being, and also with other people. So there is a loving, safe space held, and what happens during the journey is that there's an awakening of all the aspects that are ready to be guided and lived in each moment, so that the person then has the awareness of that, but also can bring that into their life experience. And it always is there from that moment on.
Yes, and isn't this the work that you provided for people over 2,000 years ago as well?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. So it's interesting, whenever I introduce the work, I've always said that, well, this is Mary Magdalene's work, and it was the thing that was done in caves. Is that correct?
Yes, caves. Actually, anywhere
in caves.
Anywhere that we could.
Anywhere.
But But not normally in buildings. Not normally in buildings. No. On nature, in nature, yeah.
Yes.
And it is a process that actually releases grief because,
yes,
in my experience, all of the other emotions are piled on top of grief. And when we take those other emotions off and allow them to just be dispersed or dissolved, the grief is there. And then when we feel into that, it is the connection, the disconnection with light and with spirit and with others, you know, with life itself. And then that's healed, and that feels a spontaneous opening to the truth. So it's very exciting when it happens.
Yes, yes. And I noticed it's touched on in the book as well, correct?
Yes. Well, I do describe, or the one speaking described for me and with me, how I worked to open the bodies of the people,
mm-hmm,
so that they could feel this energy of light and also to feel alive, the life force opening and expanding. Because, of course, you know, the image that's used is like a garden hose. You know, when you have lots of,
yeah,
grief and anger and upset, there's lots of kinks in your garden hose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So recognition opens, you know, the healing work opens the patterns out, and they're not able to be held anymore. And so there's freedom then.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for that and sharing so openly about your work and the impression and the experience and the honor and integrity with which you're working from. And I also just want to touch again. I know we're going to have to close shortly, but I just thought I would check in and see if what your feelings are about what can what your feelings are about this movie. And I understand it's happening organically, but I'm wondering if you have anything you want to add concerning the movie.
In a lot of ways, this film is directed from above. And it is not that other films are not, and yet this is consciously being invited by those involved to have direction from the film itself, so that we don't direct the film, but the film directs us. And the film is being directed from the source of light and from my essence and from the essence of the Christ and what we have discussed prior to this moment. So we are very excited about this monumental movement that's going to actually allow us to teach or share or in some way commiserate with humanity in what can now be changed or overturned or foundationed. How can we allow our direction to be from above and from the all that is, and use less will, use less thought and intention from that part of that willfulness, you know, that, oh, it has to be this way, or I want to control this or that. So it's a way to actually embody the experience that Christ and I had when in our lifetime we actually were able to look at the design and allow it and act from it. So the movie is in the same way, you know, it's been created so that we can actually show how this works. So that's very exciting, because then taking the direction from the film really means that because the film is so all-encompassing and already sees how it will impact the world, we can all follow in the steps of that and manifest it congruently and clearly and accurately and represent the promise that way.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's exciting. And long awaited. So, TJ, do you have anything you want to add? I know we're probably going to have to close. So,
I just want to say that it's amazing and wonderful that this movie is coming forward, and we're just in the right time where all these things are starting to manifest. So thank you, Mary, and thank you, Flo, for being a part of all this.
Thank you, TJ, very much. Appreciate being with you both today.
And I send my love and my heart and my honor to both of you and to you, TJ. And I want to thank you for coming forward, Mary. And Flo, if you have anything you want to add.
I just want to thank you, Joy, for your intention to always bring the truth and this beauty to many, many people. And it's an honor to be with you and to expand with you in this way. So I'm really grateful and very honored, and also very happy that we're able to do this again and to set, you know, like, it's like a marker to actually put this in and then to see what happens, you know. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I actually got a little bit of information about the focus of the film because I'm going to try to remember what Mary said in that last segment so I can tell the director. So I can tell the director and the producer, because that was a little
very
new to me.
Good.
It was beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I also got something that I wanted to speak to you about concerning the film when we have a moment. So I'll stop there, though. Okay. And
okay,
I want to. All right. And TJ, thank you. Thank you so much for all you do to keep it rolling.
You're welcome.
Yes. And I want to thank our listeners, and I want to encourage you to follow your hearts, like Mary says, and check things out. There's a website with Soul Support Systems, and if TJ or I can answer questions too, we're all here, Mary, Flo, me, TJ, through the shifts of these times. Remember, our children are masters in smaller bodies with great wisdom, and they're giving big messages. So I just wanted to put that out and say that the newness of them is alive in the integrity of the work that you hear as well. So blessings to everyone, and have a great day.